time I read about you, every time I hear your name, I start to smile. Every time the sun starts shining, every time the wind starts blowing, every time I feel your anointing, I start to smile.
First, giving all praises unto my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, my comforter, my God, to Pastor Evans for this blessed opportunity to give the fifth saying and the seventh last saying. That saying is, of course, I thirst comes from John 19 and 28. And it reads, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill scripture, I thirst. I thirst, theologians, commentators would say it's a suffering saying. They would argue about why Jesus says these words, though. They agree on that it is about suffering, but they argue about why Jesus uses these words. I thirst, or dipsio in the Greek, suggests that a person is suffering either in the spiritual or in the natural. Psalm 63 gives us a picture of what suffering looks like in the spiritual as far as I thirst. It says, you, God, are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. That's the spiritual thirst. But the natural thirst, you can look at Matthew 25 and 35, which reads, for when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And when I was a stranger, you welcomed me. That's the natural. So theologians have this tension. What was God saying when, what was God talking about in the midst of him suffering? Was it in the spiritual or was it in the natural? But when you look at this word and when you look at it a little closer, you'll find out that it's in the natural. When Jesus says, I thirst, it's because our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, was suffering. By this time, our Savior's body had been beaten. It had been bruised. It had been bashed. It had been berated. That caused him to lose so much fluid that his body was in self-preservation mode. He needed liquid. So when Jesus says and uses the term, I thirst, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, is suffering. Jesus the Christ is fully God and he is fully man, but he is subject to this human, frail, feeble, fragile body that we have. His thirst is an expression of a painful feeling, a longing for refreshment. His body at this time is dehydrated. He has probably cracked lips and dried skin and blurred vision, and his muscles are probably contracting. We call it catching a Charlie horse, but can you imagine that? As our Savior is being stretched out on a cross, his muscles are now contracting, pulling away from the very nails that are holding him up. In this text in John 19 and 28, the author, he gives us really two words, two reasons why our Lord and Savior Jesus suffers in the natural. First, when he suffers because Jesus has to satisfy Scripture. The Bible says in verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished to fulfill Scripture, says, I thirst. Jesus had to fulfill Scripture. He had to satisfy Scripture. Jesus lets us know in Matthew 16 and 21 that he had to suffer. Jesus knew that he was going to suffer, but he also knew that he had to satisfy the Scripture. If you read Psalm 69 and 21, you'll find out that it says, they put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. If you read Psalms 22 and 15, you'll find out that his mouth dried up like a potsherd and his tongue stuck to the roof of his mouth. You laid on me the dust of death. Jesus is pointing to the Old Testament because he knows Old Testament prophecy has to be satisfied. In the midst of our Savior suffering, he is being obedient to the word of God. In the midst of this obstacle, he is being obedient. Can we say the same? Can we say, even in the midst of our frustrations, can we keep the faith? Even in the midst of hard times and turmoil and trouble, can God, watch this, trust us? Jesus satisfies the Scripture in the midst of suffering. But we also have a Savior that can sympathize with sinners. Hebrews helps us. Hebrews says in 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, but he did not sin. Did you hear that? That he sympathizes with us. He sympathizes, watch this, with a sinner like me. Jesus sympathizes with the human needs and the human wants and the human desires and the human frailties of man. Jesus knows what it is to lose a friend like Lazarus. He understands to be denied and doubted by his own disciples. He understands how to be betrayed by a friend, to be tempted by Satan, to be tested by religious leaders, to be ignored by politicians, to be condemned by his own community. Our Savior sympathizes. He understands. Philippians 2, 6 through 9 tells us that he came down from in eternity and put himself in the form of a servant, even to the point of death. He understands. We don't have a guy that just walks the walk, but he talks the talk. One of my favorite golf instruments is a Skycaddy, and it's different from other GPS instruments because it just doesn't rely on satellites from above. But this Skycaddy puts people on the ground and walks each golf course, knows where the divots and where the holes and where the dangers are on each golf course. It just doesn't rely from the sky, but it walks on the ground. So I trust the Sky Caddy because it has already walked in the courses that I want to play. Can I tell you that I trust my God because he sympathizes and he has already walked this earth and he's already suffered and he identifies with even my suffering. We have a Savior that satisfies Scripture. We also have a Savior that sympathizes with sinners. Jesus says, I thirst, to fulfill scripture and to sympathize with a sinner like me. God bless you and God keep you.